We all are bound by some sorts of standards in our life. In my job, in aviation, there's very strict standards, very particular standards that must be held up to for safety and legal reasons. For the kids that are going to school, they understand standards. They must have certain grades to pass school or pass the test or pass the class. Hospitals have standards of safety and hygiene for certain good reasons. Our bank hopefully has good standards of counting our money. And all these standards are here to help keep good order. And we all can't get away from the standards in our life. But there is one particular standard that really none of us can get away from, and that's the standard of time. Time. We get 24 hours a day. We get 60 minutes in each of those hours and 60 seconds in each of those minutes in the hour. If anybody's using tenths of a second, they're much better at time management than I am. So kudos to you. Probably know I've said before that I like watches and things, and I also enjoy the study of timekeeping and how time has been kept and impact over history. And I think that nowadays we take time and timekeeping somewhat for granted. It's easy now to pull out your cell phone and get the time from the satellite there that's ridiculously accurate, or look at your phone or your computer or the TV, or some of us still wear watches that tick if you want to find time the old-fashioned way. But the time wasn't always so easy to keep. Many, many years ago, we didn't have the modern conveniences of measuring time. And in the very early times, knowing the difference of night and day, the sun going up and down, was sufficient for their timekeeping. And as time goes on, they began to realize they needed ways to count the hours of the day or to measure a certain amount of time. History has found as much as year 2000 BC has found early hourglasses that were made and fashioned as a way to fairly accurately measure a particular amount of time. It could be the amount of time that you were to do something, or the amount of time you were to keep something, or different sizes were made for different things. The sun and the stars have always been the biggest help and one of the most accurate ways to measure time. We found that the historians have found ancient sundials in Egyptian tombs dating back to 1500 BC. Also, there's mentions of sundials in the Old Testament in the Bible around 700 BC, historians believe. The account is first read in 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 11. It's in the account, we won't read it all, but it's the account of Isaiah, the prophet, speaking with Hezekiah. Hezekiah was seeking a sign from God. And the sign was, God was going to send the sign that he was going to move the shadow of the sundial backwards 10 degrees. And of course, God said he'd do it, and he did it. And all were amazed, because there was physically no way to back the sun up to make that shadow go backwards. As time progressed on, other cultures, particularly the Chinese culture, learned how to use the measuring of water to run their time. And as developed it more, they actually used water to power some of their very early clocks, and those date around 600 BC. Now, this in the astrological and the sun method of timekeeping lasted all the way up into the beginning of the early industrial revolutions, when man began to learn how to make machines. We know that there's some towns in Europe that have town clocks that were made in the 1300s that are still around today. And they were able to chime the hour out to the whole village. By the 1600s, they were able to make clocks that were accurate up to nearly or almost 10 hours a day, usually, and maybe. By the 1700s, that people would have clocks and watches in their homes. In the early 1800s, timekeeping had become so accurate that sailors had learned how to use time for navigation. They learned that with accurate time, they could navigate much more accurately, be on time, and all these sorts of things that was much more accurate than they ever had been before with the sun and the stars. So much so that in England, there's a place that's called GMT, or the Greenwich Meantime Station, or the Greenwich Station, they call it. And it was European Center of Timekeeping. And they had a building there, and they observed the sun and the stars, and they kept extremely accurate time there. And this building was located near a large harbor. And on this building was a giant iron ball. And at noon every day, this giant ball would slowly come down the pole, and when it hit the bottom, that marked 12 o'clock. So when that happened, all the sailors in the harbor could reset their chronometers and their watches to keep accurate time for navigation. And also, runners from local cities and villages would come, observe that, set some sort of a clock, and take the accurate time back out through their villages so everybody could have accurate time. As technology progressed, the telegraph lines began to transmit this accurate time all throughout the nation. This made their ships much more accurate in their navigation. They were faster, they had shorter routes, therefore they could carry more cargo, they could make more money. People could be on time, they could do more business. It was a huge advancement for their system there. Now, near up to this time also, in the United States, we had a growing rail system. It was growing rapidly throughout the country, and train companies were popping up everywhere. They were running freight and people all over the country. The problem was that each one of these companies seemed to maintain their own standard of time. You can imagine that with all this happening, that there would be so much chaos around. And after a few train crashes and actually great loss of life, the U.S. government probably made one of their smartest decisions they ever made. In 1883, they adopted the U.S. time standard. It was a time that the whole country was to follow. As a result, just like in the shipping industry, the trains could run faster, they could go further more often, carry people more efficiently, make more money, and most importantly, it improved safety. The accidents were greatly lessened due to time problems. Okay, Jason, that's an interesting time history lesson. Now let's see if we can make some Christian applications to this. Mainly and most importantly, when we talk about standards, for us today, it's the gospel and the Bible that contains the gospel. That is our standard. That is our standard. Everything that we do, say, think, is measured by the standard of God's word and the gospel. Let's for a moment consider the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. The account I'm looking at is from Matthew 5. If we look at these particular young ladies, there was a standard that they were supposed to adhere to. They knew that they were supposed to have their lamps prepared and enough oil prepared for when the bridegroom came, that they would be ready for this. The wise young ladies had met the standard. They had prepared, they were ready, and they had what they needed. The foolish young ladies had not prepared. They did not plan ahead. They did not have the supplies they need. They did not meet the standard. And when the time came and the party started, they were not allowed to come in. They were lost and they were left out. Much like our sailors that we talked about earlier, if they had not met the standards, if they had not done what they were supposed to do, they could have been lost. Or they could have not have been on time, and the business they could have done, they would not have been able to do. We read later in this parable in Matthew 25, in verses 11 through 13, states that the foolish ones were not allowed to come in. And in verse 13, we're told specifically, "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." The wise ladies knew this, and they met the standard, and because of that, they were rewarded. The Lord expects us to live by His standards, and that's the Word. That is, of course, if we want eternal life in heaven. We must always measure ourselves against the standards of God, and the words of the Bible. You know, and the sailors didn't just check their time once, sail away, never worry about it again. They checked their time and their clocks and watches as often as they could. Every time they were near the standard, they would adjust to make sure that they always had the proper time and didn't run the risk of being lost or left behind. Spiritually, do we do that? Do we, like our brothers, as mentioned in Thessalonica, search the scriptures daily? Do we desire, like Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2, the pure milk of the word? If we are not actively trying to meet the Lord's standards, we will be lost. We need to synchronize our clocks and our lives with God's standards as often as possible to make sure that we do not become lost. Another thought from the time standard I'd like to mention tonight. We talked about the troubles with the early railroads in the U.S. and their great lack of unity. New York might have had one time standard, measured their time, start and stop one way, which may have been different from the time of the railroad in Birmingham, which might have been different from the time standard in Colorado or that of San Francisco. History says that the time of their clocks could have been more than 20 minutes off the minute. And the hours, of course, would be different if they adjusted for when their days and nights were, as the sun rose, an earlier version of a daylight, of a time zone sort of situation. That caused many train crashes because nobody was on the same schedule. They tried to occupy the same places at very same times. This caused much confusion and delay. Nothing worked well, and there was many problems. This isn't unlike religions of our modern time. If you enter any building in this country that claims to be religious, you may hear any sort of idea. They may be doing any sort of standard that they wish. Some will tell you that baptism isn't necessary for salvation. Some will tell you that you're once saved, always saved. Some will tell you you have to baptize small children. Some you'll find are worshiping strange gods from foreign lands. None of them are doing the same thing. The Lord in His infinite wisdom knew that we needed to follow a standard, the same standard. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 4 through 6, says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and you all." And if you look ahead into Ephesians chapter 5, and towards the end part there, around verse 23, is when we're talking about the bride and the church. You notice there that it says church singularly. Never does it mention anything about brides, plural, or churches, plural. In verse 25, it says that Jesus died for the church, for her. Not for them, one church. The Lord wishes us to have unity. Much like the railroads ran much smoother when they had unified time, we will find spreading the gospel to be much more successful if we live under the standard of oneness. While I understand we can't control all of the world around us and the standards that they live by, but it is certainly within our responsibility to control what we do within our standards of our own behavior, our local congregation, and within our brotherhood. And take away from our time standard history lesson tonight, please remember these two very simple things. Constantly seek to meet and keep the standard our Lord has set before us. Your soul depends on it. And also, accept only unity. It is the way God desired it to work, and it will work no other way. Tonight, if you have strayed away from the standards or you've measured your life and you don't meet the standards that God left before you, we're here to help you. We're here to help you get back to those standards. If you have never known the standards and you need us to study with you or to teach you or to help you to meet those standards, we would love for you to come forward and let us help you with that. If there's anything the church can do for you here to help you be synchronized with the Lord, please come as we sing our hymn of invitation.